Welcome back to the Embodied Remembrance podcast. My name is Jasmine and I am your host for this podcast. It's been a little while since I sat down and recorded these podcast episodes. I've been shifting more into recording them as much as possible in bulk, just to support and get a little bit smoother with the organisation and the preparation of these podcasts. And it's the beginning of April now, so I am beginning to record all of the episodes for April and into May. And it feels really nice because I feel like the last time I was recording an episode kind of just before it was released was before the spring equinox. And even though as I sit here, it's a very grey and rainy day here in Derbyshire, there is a shift in the energy. And I've said this in many a podcast over the past 6-7 months, but for a lot of us, it's been such a deep winter. A deep winter of transformation, of having to shift out of situations, circumstances, patterns, stories, conditioning, and it's been a really poignant one for a lot of people. Who everyone I've spoken to of late is like, I'm just so grateful to see the spring because the winter was so deep. There's this extra layer of gratitude for this spring because the death in winter was so big for so many. So I want to officially welcome you into spring from my heart to yours and really honour the process that you've been through. However that's manifested, however you find yourself in these moments of meeting spring. I have a really beautiful camellia bush outside of in my front garden where I live, and it blooms from maybe like late February. It begins to bloom, and it's starting to turn now. Like there's still so many beautiful full flowers on there. These like really beautiful pink flowers, but there's also this transition of some of them that are just beginning to fall to the ground and kind of offer the earth this really beautiful pink confetti. But last year when I moved into the house, into this house I'm in now, I moved in beginning of March last year, the camellia bush was blooming. And so this is just this beautiful reminder of all of the new, all of the opportunities for rebirth, for our potential, for the possibilities that come with this new chapter, with this new season, and that everything that we journey through in the depths of winter will start to bloom and blossom and birth anew come the spring and summer. And there's a saying that the deeper the death in winter, the bigger the bloom and rebirth come the spring and the summer. And I'm so here for that, and I'm so here for seeing all of that for everyone who's been deep in their journeys over the dark months. This week's topic is something that we are journeying through this month in Vessel, my online women's membership. And I'm also running an immersion on the 18th of May on this topic, because it's one that is so prevalent for so many women. The good girl pleaser is the good girl people pleaser paradigm, the pattern that runs so deeply in many, many women's lives. How they interact with the world, how they receive the world, how they perceive they should behave, how they should be. And it's one of these topics that has so many branches to it. And what I really want to do is just kind of go over these branches in this specific topic as a little bit of a taster of what to expect if you were to join Vessel or if you were to join the Immersion next month. Because this one for me, and I'm going to share a little bit about my own journey with this, just a real brief kind of highlight of my own journey with this, so that you can kind of see some of the flavours to it. Because I, like many, have been brought up in a very traditional British household. And I was very much taught to behave in a very specific way. As a young lady, I don't know if you can remember this program called Ladette to Lady. I can't even remember what channel it was on, maybe like ITV, back in maybe the 90s or early noughties. And it was essentially like how being a good lady, a good girl, a good woman, a well-behaved woman, is the thing to aspire to. And it, like, looking back, that is kind of like the epitome of what it is in a lot of women's lives, especially in this country, in the UK. Can't speak for everywhere, but you know, we have a royal family. You have a royal family, and with that comes an expectation of, like, some of that behaviour kind of gets passed down. And it did in my family, 100% get passed down in my family. And one of the things that kind of, like, I was a tomboy when I was young. I don't even like that term for a girl, to be honest. I find that the reason I was coined tomboy was the fact that I was just really outdoorsy. I loved to climb things, I loved to run around, I loved to play outside, all of these things. I preferred trousers to dresses, and all of these things. And a lot of kind of what I was kind of told, that wasn't ever like drilled out of me, it was actually encouraged. So that part of myself was encouraged. And you know, if you see the way I live now, you know, I'm outside a lot of the time. I intentionally moved out of a city environment because it's just not me. Being so close to the land is very important to me, so I adjusted my life to allow that to happen. But there were these kind of like set of expectations to always be seen and not heard, not to ask questions, to always kind of be polite and adhere to whatever it is that the adults required of you when you were little. And this can then bring up so much for us as we shift into our teenage years and our adult years. And this, I find, is where we actually see how the good girl and the people pleaser begins to impact on our expression, on our truth, on our desires, on our needs, on our boundaries, is because we've had this imprint and this conditioning placed upon us in our younger years, and we kind of don't question it. And then we shift into our teenage years and maybe we rebel a little bit, but maybe it's still there. It's very dependent on kind of like your own experience as a teenager. And then we find ourselves in womanhood and it's like, oh, Oh, how come, what, why am I not able to hold this boundary? Why am I saying yes to this thing when my whole body is like contracting? Maybe there's a like nauseous feeling in your stomach. And you're saying yes to something where you're like, this is a hard fucking no for me. And this is when we start to see the people pleaser and the good girl kind of like come into full force. We've lost our capacity to use our voices. And it may have also stemmed from, so one of the branches that I'm going to speak into during the immersion and during Vessel this month is the fact that the good girl and the people pleaser can be a fawn response. So the fawn response, if you don't know, just very briefly, is a nervous system response where our body and our mind kind of like it sense like a perceived danger. So you fawn to the circumstance. So maybe you're on a train and there's a bunch of rowdy lads absolutely pissed up on a train. It's like late evening, you're sat on your own. They're kind of like midway down the carriage, you're towards the door or something. And you're very aware of the fact that they're being really annoying. You're like, oh my God, can you please shut up? But you're not going to say that because you're on your own. And maybe they start talking to you and start talking to you, and you're just like kind of like smiling, kind of like making small talk, but trying to keep yourself a little bit back. But you're kind of trying to be polite because you don't want to rock the boat. That's an example of the fawning response. So that may or may not have happened to you at any point during your childhood or your teenagers or early womanhood, but you may have found yourself in experiences with family members, with friendship circles, in school settings, in work settings where you've had to fawn. And that can be kind of like an extension of the good girl pleaser paradigm, because there's this kind of like trying to protect yourself. And the way I really see the good girl pleaser paradigm is the fact that actually it is a really, really big mask that we hold as women, because there's this element of fearing being rejected, being abandoned, being judged, being seen, being heard for who we actually are. The opinions that we may hold that go against maybe our friendship circles, our family systems, our community. So instead of actually expressing them, we shut down, we put this mask on where we kind of just agree and go along with things, where in essence there's a part of us that's like really, really yearning to vocalize, be witnessed, and not shut ourselves down. But we've got this conditioning that kind of keeps us a little bit frozen. We're a little bit kind of feeling a little bit like we're stuck in the mud with this. So we find ourselves kind of putting this mask on, possibly through fear of rejection, of abandonment, of being judged. And we keep our expression, our needs, our wants, our voice shut down, because that's what we've done to keep ourselves safe in the past. Or to be accepted in the past. But now we're finding that every time we do it, we feel shit. There's a part of us that's like, ugh, why do I keep doing this? Why can't I just speak my truth? And we kind of continue this cycle a little bit and internally get more and more resentful and frustrated and annoyed. And we're annoyed at ourselves, and we're annoyed that we feel disempowered. But there's also this piece with this is that we, no matter what's happened in the past, in the present, we are actively choosing to give our power away by not staying in our center and finding our truth, speaking our truth. And this is the thing that can be a little bit like of a crunchy one for people. Is because there is always choice in that. Whether it's a conscious or an unconscious choice, there's a choice there. And when you are working with the good girl pleaser paradigm, you know, one of the other branches, and I did a post on this earlier this week, is that one of the byproducts of the good girl pleaser paradigm is passive aggressive behavior. Because resentment is built up, and because there's this need to sometimes control and fight, kind of like take your power back in some way, but there's not this full like confidence to really step into your power, there can be this slightly covert way of trying to take your power back through passive aggressive behavior. And this is not me here like calling you out, because I'm speaking to this from lived experience. This is just part of it. And sometimes when we're kind of offered information like this, we can go into such shame spirals. And what I really want to offer is, if you notice yourself going into a shame spiral, can you just take a moment and pause and just be with the sensations that are coming up, and know that this is all just part of being human. And that actually now that you're coming into awareness of this pattern, you have the ability to switch it, to shift it, and to find a new way that feels far more in integrity, far more responsible, far more like respectful for yourself, but also like respectful for the relationships in your life. So any time that there's a teaching that kind of hits a spot within you, can you actually just give yourself the space and the grace to be with the sensation and try not to, and I know it's sometimes hard to do, like I know, try not to just squash it down with shame. Because where there's shame, there's not a capacity to move the energy, to move the sensation and kind of like alchemize it. Shame is like a massive cock block sometimes. So we have to be really mindful with shame around how it's presenting. We cannot always go through life avoiding shame, and that's okay. But it's just about being aware of when it comes up, if it's one of these like massive blocks that's not actually allowing the energy to move for you. So there's a lot of kind of voice, speaking our truth and really connecting to our voice here with the good girl pleaser. Because even though we are probably using our voices to agree with things that we don't want to actually be doing or agreeing with, or saying yes to a boundary that actually is a hard no for us, there's a lot around the throat and the voice with this particular pattern, because part of coming out of this is being able to and beginning to vocalize what your actual needs are in any circumstances. And we start with needs first, because they are foundational. That may be the fact that you need more time for X, Y, and Z. It may be that there's a boundary that's been crossed. Then it may be that we start to transition more into like what it is that you want and start to work on that. And then it's that like level of, okay, well, I'm comfortable with voicing and having my needs acknowledged, vocalized, etc. And now my wants. Now I want to speak my truth about X, Y, and Z. So there's almost this kind of dance through all of these that we have to journey through. So there is the lot around the throat, a lot around the voice, and a lot around speaking what it is that we need, we want, and our deeper truths. So that's another branch of the good girl pleaser, just very briefly. And then a final thing that I just want to speak into, and this is why I want to speak into my own experience, Because it is a mask, it is a very, very covert way of manipulation, of getting what we want from people. Now, I say this from experience, because in my teenage years, and specifically in my teenage years, I was so, so, so good at playing this card. I could get whatever I wanted. All I had to do was smile, and I'd have anyone wrapped around my finger. I was so good at it. And I was aware of it, okay? So there was an awareness of it, but it wasn't until like my adult years, like especially like the past maybe 5 or 6 years, where this work's kind of been more and more embedded in, and I've kind of transitioned out of a lot of these patterns to the extent that I was in them previously. But I knew what I was doing. And this is the thing, is like sometimes admitting it to ourselves is the first step and one of the hardest steps. But we need to acknowledge that being in the good girl pleaser paradigm to manipulate situations to get what we want is a part of the pattern. And it's okay. It's okay that it's a part of the pattern. And we need to finish that cycle. And I say it's okay that it's a part of the pattern, because again, I'm inviting you to step away from shame here and to acknowledge the fact that, oh, okay, maybe it wasn't the most responsible thing, appropriate thing, the most in integrous thing, but it happened. I did it. I was a participant of it. And I'm choosing a far more integrous, responsible way of doing things. So these are kind of a few of the branches that we are going to be exploring in so much more depth and detail during Vessel, my online women's membership this month of April, as well as on our immersion on the 18th of May in Derbyshire. Through Vessel, kind of, there's a lot. We have our activation call coming up, which is recorded, and then we have kind of other things kind of moving through. We have embodiment practices for this pattern. We have teachings, we have mentoring, we have musings, we have everything, and it's a really beautiful space to come into. If you're wanting that consistent holding as you explore not only this pattern but every pattern moving forwards, as well as anything that's already been journeyed through in Vessel, so you've already got like 7 months worth of teachings to dive into at your own pace. There's no rush with how you arrive into the teachings. You do it at your own pace. You come to the calls, you receive the information on the calls. At the end of every month, there's a digestion call where we digest whatever you've been working on. That's your space to really deepen into what's come up for you. And then we've got the immersion on the 18th of May. And this is ran 10 till 5 p.m. on the 18th of May in Derbyshire at Furze Farm Nursery. And we have a journey through the embodied teachings, an embodiment practice, mentoring and coaching. You're going to be fed, going to have a nice lunch together, and we're going to go through a breathwork journey as well. So there's this whole kind of host of ways to receive this teaching on a deeper level. With each, there is always space for integration. With being in Vessel, you're of course going to have that continual integration because you're in Vessel. You're in a membership. You're in a membership that guides you and mentors you through for a minimum of 6 months. So you have that containment, that space to process for the time you're in Vessel. And then with the immersion, you have a big integration pack to support you to bring the teachings and the wisdom that you've received on the immersion into your life, because that's where it matters. That's where the true transformation changes. These immersions, they're gorgeous, they're beautiful. There's so much information there for you, and it serves as an opening. What opens for you during that session is then yours to take out and weave it into your life. And that's how the integration pack supports you with that. So I'll pop the links for both in the show notes. And of course, if you have any questions, you can send me a message on either via my website or you can send me a message over Instagram or Facebook. I hope this has been a really beautiful kind of taste, a little bit of a flavour of what this pattern really is. And one thing I just want to end on before we close is, sometimes we can be like, yeah, cool, but why? Why should I shift out of this? Now, of course, I've mentioned a little bit around like the voice not speaking your truth, feeling the resentment, etc., etc. But the thing is, with anything I teach, it's here to bring you into far deeper relationship with yourself, with your life, but those in your life. All of these patterns predominantly that I speak into are in relationship to other. And when we are in relationship to other, it's like, how can we meet this from a space that feels far clearer? So there's not so many games being played. There's not so many like wounds kind of being met. And actually, it's from this less wounded space that we're meeting life, that we're meeting our partners, our family members, our children, our friends, our workplace. And we're actually coming from this real seat of, oh, okay, this actually feels so much better. It feels so much fuller. Like I'm receiving life, I'm receiving these relationships, I'm receiving myself on a level that I never have before. And this is a why. There's so many other whys, but I just want to leave you with that one for now. So I really hope that this has landed for you. As I said, any questions, feel free to get in touch. If you don't already, I'd really love it if you could like, subscribe, follow, rate, review this podcast. It really helps to grow the podcast, and for more people to find it. Thank you.